Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 6th, 2020. The head of UN mission is assuring South Sudanese that UN peacekeepers have no coronavirus.
We have received a letter from the South Sudan authorities regarding the coronavirus. We are in discussions with them at the moment. In the meantime, none of our operations have been affected.
And the African Union boss praises the military and civilians in Sudan for working together.
We want to see an improvement in the economy in the country. We want to see success on the peace process with the armed groups and create a conducive environment for conducting a credible and fair election in the country.
We'll have details on these stories coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The head of the African Union Commission is commenting the partnership between the military and civilians in Sudan's transitional government. Moussa Faki Mohamed, who is in the Sudanese capital Khartoum, says the transitional government is holding despite political and economic challenges facing the country. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
Moussa Faki Mohamed says he is visiting Sudan to evaluate the 5 months plus transitional period. Speaking in Arabic, Faki urges the military and the civilians to continue cooperating. In his meeting in Khartoum this week, Faki says he told Sudanese leaders that the AU would like to see the government take on critical issues like economic development.
We want to see an improvement in the economy in the country. We want to see success on the peace process with the armed groups and create a conducive environment for conducting a credible and fair election in the country.
Under the agreement signed by civilian and military leaders in August 2019, a general election will be held directly following the 3-year transitional period. Faki says Sudan suffered for decades under what he calls unfair decisions, but the revolution has sparked a new beginning.
Today, Sudan is witnessing popular and peaceful revolution, democratic movement which is also witnessing a consensus partnership of the transitional period. We wish to see that all friends of Sudan and the international community should rally behind and stand with Sudan at this juncture.
Faki says the AU will continue to encourage the U.S. to remove Sudan from its list of countries that sponsor terrorism. He also praised the South Sudan government for bringing the parties to the negotiating table where they are expected to reach to a final peace deal.
The African Union is ready, today before tomorrow, to engage in consensus and join the efforts of the Republic of South Sudan to support the peace process in Sudan. We believe peace in Sudan is crucial for successful transition and for the security and stability of the region and the whole of the African continent.
Faki says the AU believes peace in Sudan is crucial for a successful transitional and for the stability in the region and the entire continent. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Farmers from Western Equatorial State are benefiting from an initiative that provides ready market for their food. Farmers in Yambio, Nzara, Ezo, and Tambura sell hundreds of bags of maize grains at the market without worrying about the surplus food or paying taxes. Dimo Silva Aurelio visited Western Equatorial State recently and filed this report for VOA from Juba.
These are farmers in Ansara who gathered at the World Food Program Rural Aggregation Center, or RAG, in Bakpapara, to sell their surplus produce, which is mainly maize grain. There are more than 40 racks or collection points in Western Equatoria villages, all located relatively close to farmers. At these centers, small farmers sell their surplus and get paid promptly through a voucher system with South Sudan's Kush Bank. It is part of a resilience program to help rebuild their lives after the civil war. Farmers say the new system has enabled farmers in Western Equatoria to reduce transport costs, avoid paying multiple taxes the other farmers often have to pay, and avoid using impassable roads. Daniel Mikomboli Gabriel is a farmer in the Bakpapara area of Nzara County who cultivates 5 acres of fedans of agriculture land. Speaking in Arabic, he says he brought to the surplus market more than 250 kilograms bags of maize.
Tabani anabiu mitenu kamshini swali.
I sold 250 bags of maize corn, which is now helping me to do more work. I used the money to buy a brand new motorbike, increase my farmland to 12 fedans, pay school fees for my 8 children, buy uniforms and scholastic materials.
Mahmoud sold 700 bags of his surplus maize corn, earning him 2.3 million Sudanese pounds, the equivalent of $9,000. Kaniko says ever since he began selling his surplus food at the center, his life has improved.
We have constructed our house in the town for renting, even other houses for children to be staying there for study. These are the changes which I have made. This year I got 600 bags for the first season. For the second season, I have 300 bags ready, which is on the ground. We construct our local grain store and other tools to protect our maize and our beans there, so that the rain may not disturb too much.
The World Food Program buys the grain from farmers at 3,300 South Sudanese pounds per 50 kilogram of maize. Even though farmers are grateful they can benefit from the Cash for Assets program, their storage is a problem. WFP program officer Sandra Hakim says her agency has bought 1,000 metric tons of food from the farmers to supply schools as part of WFP's school feeding program.
The main reason why we're doing all of this is because farmers were complaining of not being able to sell their surplus and have a market opportunity. So WFP is filling in the role, filling in the gap together with STO. But hopefully in the future, this would also stimulate the presence of private sector and stimulate competition. So at some point we have seen that there is a trader that also started buying from farmers at a higher price than WFP. And for us, we don't consider it as competition, but it's another point of view, which is, okay, at least now the private sector is more present.
WFP is rehabilitating some feeder roads to help farmers reach the rural aggregation centers. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A court in Jonglei State Capital Bor today sentenced 2 convicted armed robbers to 10 years in prison and a third one to 3 years in prison. The presiding judge says the 3 must also pay for stolen computers, phones and money. Deng Gai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State High Court Judge John Yala Liu says 19-year-old Chol Bola Yuen, 18-year-old Duod Biura Jang and 17-year-old Nial Mayom were all found guilty of robbery under Section 305 of the South Sudan Penal Code Act 2008.
It happened that on February 2020, on date 7th, there are 2 complainants. One is just going back home carrying his 2 laptops, and there are groups of the youth who attack him on the way at around 8. The same time, they attacked him and took some money, and even the laptop, they stole the 2 laptops, and they took even the mobile. And when they are on their way, they find another complainer on his way home. They attack him also. They took his money and the mobile.
Judge Aleu says Hes Ajang and Ayuen will serve their jail terms in Bor Central Prison, while Mayom will serve his 3 jail terms in Juvenile Reformatory Center in Juba.
The juvenile one has been sent into reformatory for 3 years, as from today. And those who are adults, they have been convicted under Section 305, robbery, and they have been sent into prison for 10 years. Is of them.
Aliu says the parties have 15 days to appeal the court decision. is speaking in Dinka. Elizabeth Awila Kol, mother of convicted robber Chol Bola Yuen, says her family will not appeal the decision, but she asks for forgiveness so his sentence is reduced.
The court has found my son guilty and there's nothing I can do about it. I am just feeling sorrowful for the long time my son will serve in prison. He's the only son I have, and his father died some time ago. If there's anybody who would help, maybe to intervene so that my son is forgiven, then that is what I am calling for.
Complainant Ali Rajek welcomes the court verdict.
Absolutely, I like what the High Court has done, because those people, what you do is what paid you. Because they did bad, so they were given back what is bad for them, so that they will not repeat what they have done.
Another complainant, Malenkur, also welcomed the judgment, saying he is happy he will be compensated for his money and stolen mobile phones. David Garangoch of the Jonglei Civil Society Network praised the court sentencing, saying it sends a strong message to criminals.
What court has done is very genuine and fundamental. It's very correct. All those who are found of robbing people must be persecuted and sentenced to prison. It is a very good decision by the court judge to sentence these two robbers 10 years in prison, so that tomorrow they will never repeat the same scenario again.
There have been several cases of armed robberies at shops and homes at night in recent weeks. Residents say they want police to patrol the town and residential areas, but police say they do not have resources to conduct regular patrols at night. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the UN peacekeeping mission in South Sudan is asked to suspend patrol of certain peacekeeping forces. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? Speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
How some ladies think that guys are supposed to work for them and all that. We need some talks to these girls such that girls or the ladies can really work hard and achieve what they want to be.
Just to unite the people, we work together, we share, and sharing. If we work together, then we can remove poverty.
Put away hatred. No, because it has spoilt everything. Like, it has totally spoilt everything. Because when you hate someone, you wouldn't want them to prosper. It has just spoilt everything.
Marriage concept, like forcing somebody to marry who he or she does not like.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's Chief of Defense Forces has asked the commander of the United Nations peacekeeping force in the country to put on hold patrols of forces from several Asian countries, including China. A South Sudanese military spokesperson confirms the decision was taken for security reasons, but declined to elaborate, as we hear from Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
South Sudan People's Defense Forces spokesperson Major General Lul Roy Kwong confirms that South Sudan Military Chief of Defense Forces General Gabriel Jok Riak wrote to the UNMISS Force Commander on March 3rd requesting the rotation of certain UNMISS forces be suspended.
It is authentic. It was written by General Governor Geoffrey, the Chief of Defense Forces. It is for security reasons, and I'm not ready to elaborate on that.
The Special Representative of the United Nations Secretary General in South Sudan, David Sierra, says his office received the letter from South Sudan military authorities because of fears over the spread of the coronavirus.
We have received a letter from the South Sudan authorities regarding the coronavirus. We are in discussions with them at the moment. In the meantime, none of our operations have been affected.
At least 16,000 UN troops contributed from a dozen countries are deployed to South Sudan as a peacekeeping force. The force was increased in 2016 when renewed violence erupted across the country. The force had a new mandate of protecting civilians, monitoring human rights, and supporting the delivery of humanitarian assistance. Some of the forces serving both as police and military have come from China, the epicenter of the coronavirus, and South Korea, India, Nepal, and Cambodia. The latest World Health Organization report on the spread of coronavirus indicates hundreds of people have died from the virus in China. Although no case of coronavirus has been confirmed in South Sudan, the Chinese ambassador to South Sudan, Huang Ying, last week called for South Sudanese authorities to step up prevention efforts.
In recent times, we have noted there is a number of cases in some of the countries and the regions has increased significantly, and the localized and targeted measures need to be taken. From China's experience, early, we see four earlies: early detection, early reporting, early isolation, early treatment, frequent hand washing, regular ventilation, wearing a face mask when necessary, staying at home, and strengthening self-protection are very important means to prevent the spread of the virus.
The coronavirus have now been confirmed in three African countries: Nigeria, Algeria, and Senegal. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on corona, Kenya has set up more than 100 hospital beds in preparation for possible corona cases. The East African nation has assured its citizens that health workers are well prepared to stop the spread of the virus, although Kenya has not reported any confirmed cases. Mohammed Yusuf reports for VOA News in Nairobi.
Speaking to reporters after visiting the Mbagathi Hospital in Seto, Nairobi, Kenya's Health Minister Mutahi Kagwe said his country is prepared to combat coronavirus.
We have trained over 1,100 health workers. We have deployed them in Jomo Kenyatta International Airport and other areas. And we are also sensitizing and cascading this training all the way to the community levels. We have procured sufficient personal protective equipment.
Mbagathi Hospital has set up 120 beds for potential cases in the country. Evans Kamuri, the head of the biggest hospital in the country, Kenyatta National Hospital, assured Kenyans the facility is well equipped to treat patients who test positive for coronavirus.
The facility has all the equipment you need from handling a basic patient up to ICU setting. We can see for those people went in, we have also ventilators, monitors, defibrillators, we have infusion pumps, even we can actually run the patient in remote. We also have all diagnostic facility, we have mobile x-rays inside here, we have mobile ultrasound, we have also a lab. So basically, we have put all the structures in place.
Kenya has not reported any coronavirus cases as yet. South Africa is the latest country in the continent to detect the virus. Six other African countries have reported confirmed cases. The virus' slow arrival to Africa has given governments more time to set up testing and treatment centres with the help of the World Health Organization and other groups. According to the Johns Hopkins University Center for Systems Science and Engineering, the number of coronavirus cases has reached 100,000 worldwide, with 80% reported in China. The death toll has surpassed 3,200. The virus is believed to have emanated from an outdoor food market in the city of Wuhan, China, and spread person to person. Some Kenyans who are ill from other diseases are worried about visiting a hospital set up to treat possible coronavirus patients. But Acting General Director of Health Patrick Amoth assured the public the coronavirus facility will operate independently.
We have ensured that this place is totally isolated from the rest of the facilities. And when we are taking you around, it's only that the windows were like that because there are no patients in the facility. Once we have an individual case, the necessary measures that we are going to put in place are totally different.
Kenyan officials say they were preventing the virus by screening those entering the country. The World Health Organization has called on countries around the world to start testing its citizens and report the number of people infected with the disease. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
From Nairobi, we move to Yaounde, where Cameroonian authorities say surveillance that it put in place after the coronavirus was initially reported in China enabled it to confirm first case of the COVID-19 on its territory today. Officials say it was discovered in a French citizen who arrived in Cameroon on February 24th. Moki Edwin Kinzeka has more for VOA News from Yaounde.
Cameroon Health Minister Manauda Malachi says the 58-year-old French citizen was immediately placed in solitary confinement in a special hospital in Yaounde after he was suspected of having the virus. Malachi says surveillance put in place by Cameroon since COVID-19 appeared in China made it possible to detect the case. He says he is calling on Cameroon's population to be calm. He says shortly after they suspected the French citizen who arrived in Cameroon on February 24 of being a carrier of the virus, they immediately confined him to avoid contact with his friends, family members and entourage. He says they started tracing all of the people he contacted from the airport of departure through the plane to the airport in Cameroon and the taxis or cars he was using, and they have disinfected places he visited. He says it was not the first case they were suspecting, but that after thorough investigations, the other cases were found to be negative. Malachi called for citizens to be calm and vigilant, saying that medical staff in the country has been advised on how to handle coronavirus cases. But news of the first coronavirus in Cameroon has scared people. Some were rushing to hospitals and pharmacies to ask for advice or buy medical face masks.
That's Muki Edwin Kinzeka reporting from Cameroon on the reported case of corona in Yaounde. It's time for our listeners' comments, and we have heard from many of you on the issues in our news. Ayom Roy Ayom from Ball Town writes, the delayed formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity is a total violation of what the agreement required. Where is IGAD? Where is G5 and Troika countries? Why are they not pressuring the parties to ensure that they do ministerial portfolios as well as gubernatorial post selection fairly and transparently? We don't expect something tangible from an uncooperative presidency in Juba. Chol Amur Rath in Bor writes, I'm appealing to the parties to the revitalized peace agreement, mainly the government and SPLM-IO, to compromise on security arrangements and other issues to enhance full implementation of the agreement. Put aside your personal interest and work for the interests of the common citizens. Our ordinary citizens are in dire need of lasting peace this time around. Samuel Remo Inyei writes, communal fighting, cattle raiding and unknown gunmen have become a threat to people of South Sudan. It has caused thousands of people to flee and others took refuge at UN protection site. I'm appealing to the government to look at the issue seriously and find amicable solution to resolve the problem since peace has returned to the country. Wilson Godi Dobagi Maza from Mvolo County writes, I'm so thankful with all the news from the Voice of America special about my country, South Sudan. Abraham Mayom Chol writes from Chuaibet in Lake States. We need an urgent setup of government of national unity to avoid a vacuum. There are so many issues that need to be addressed. Sunday Agok Arou from Lake States, Rumbek writes, I'm deeply worried and scared when I first heard the first case of coronavirus being reported in one of our sub-Saharan countries, while our leaders are fighting and putting their efforts on who should take what ministry. Instead, our Ministry of Health and its partners should prepare to deal with this virus. Stop worshipping fake prophets. A listener from Lake States, who refers to himself as Dr. Chien Machar, writes, Hello, VOA. My appreciation goes to John Tanza for the interview that you always do with our stakeholders on the ground, and they are not even frank to answer you. My message to our government is that let them form the government very soon and let our state receive new governors, not the affected ones from the defunct three states. Another listener who forgot to mention his or her name writes, I'm enjoying your daily news feed from our affiliate station in Torit, Voice of Eastern Equatorial State. My regards to all the hardworking team in and outside South Sudan. Arou Mayendid in Juba writes, Supporting baseless opinions to divide our people for individual gain is unacceptable and must be shown in its totality this time. I wish I was the one interviewing her to tell me clearly why is it hard to govern three administrative areas, while two administrative areas were there before the 2013 conflict. Arau is referring to our interview this week with Jane Carney. He continues, Creation of Roeng administrative area is like creation of Pibor administrative area, which she did not dare to talk about it. Roeng is entirely inhabited by Jieng, something that she intentionally refused to mention. John Jal writes from Juba, I appreciate your work and your agency around South Sudan. He continues, John, may God bless you now and forever. Thank you, John. Peter Goch Anyang Majong Dul in Dukpayuel writes, The delay in the formation of the Artigono leads to a power vacuum both in the states and counties, which can result into lawlessness. The president and his vices should speed up the formation of the cabinet before things get out of our hands. He continues, Both the government and the humanitarians should pay more attention to the isolated leprosy communities at Malek because it was not their will to be lepers. Malweth Paul Achok in Juba writes, What is the meaning of giving members of parliament $25,000? In 2019, they were given $40,000. And now again, I really don't understand what are these MPs doing. Abraham Mayom Chol from Chuaibet in Lake States writes, Ugandans are right to turn locusts into their meals because locusts have eaten their crops. Malok Majok from Rumbek writes, During the tour of President Salva Kiir to the Greater Bahr al-Ghazal region in 2019, he clearly informed the people of the region on the possibilities of allocating some states to SPLM-IO. These are comments from our listeners. We thank you for writing to us. And that's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Roho Yangu Inakuimbia by Solomon Mukubwa. Waliokuwa makaba, wameacha ukaba wa mtumikia Mungu. Waliokuwa wale, wameacha ule wa mtumikia Mungu. Unangoja nini baba, kuja kwa Yesu. Unangoja nini kaka, kuja kwa Yesu. Na yeye ni Bwana, atakuponyesha. Tabia yako, hata kama ni kumi. You have been listening to Solomon Mukubwa with that gospel song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a safe weekend. And remember to join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.